You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
The babies with hair is creepy. It's so weird. Like, why do you have hair? You're not a person. We don't even know if we're going to keep you yet. Like, fuck, you don't have hair and
you
shit.
You can't abort babies after they're born.
Bullshit.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Dice World Studios in San Antonio, Texas, this is the social hour. On today's show, comedian Alexa Irizarry. And now your host. No joke here, he just released a comic book, so you should go buy it on Kickstarter. Kill Stan, available now. Shameless plug. Dees Casillas.
Malam Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Dees. Thanks for coming around for another episode, guys. We appreciate you hanging out, trying to get back on that weekly schedule for 2024. We've been pretty good. Missed a few weeks here and there, but we're doing it. We're back, baby. If you are listening to this the day it comes out, catch me. I will be in Seattle area, Western Washington, all this week. I'll be in Rockport, Anacortes, Fairfield, Natchez, and then for the Que Chiste Latino Comedy Festival, the 19th through the 21st, so check that out too. We've got dates on the website and more, so make sure you come and check that out. Nothing like a Latino comedy festival in a state where they have to import all their Latinos. Also, guys, the Kickstarter for the comic book launch, Kill Stan, is live in a couple days on the 15th, so check that out. Go to inferno.earth on Instagram, Facebook, or the website, and help support the campaign. We've got the first issue coming soon, so get all the details, stay up to date, and get you all the fun stuff we've got going on. Other than that, guys, we're going to get into it with our guest today. Probably the guest closest to me in proximity since we've moved to Texas, all the way from Austin, Texas, Alexa Irizarry. Alexa, how are you? Thanks for being here.
Oh, yeah, I'm really excited to be here. Yeah, Austin, Texas. It's great. I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio, though.
Okay, you're a long way from home then.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's different, you know. When I walk down the streets in Austin, I don't feel like I'm going to get shot.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, is that just because Cleveland is a nightmare, or less progressive, or both those things?
No, Cleveland's terrible. Like I lived next to those three girls that got kept in the basement for 10 years.
Oh shit!
The guy was like, you know, something's wrong when a pretty little white girl run into a black man's arms. Dang,
yeah.
Giveaway.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever heard the song they remixed that into? They remixed that into like a hip hop song.
Everyone in Cleveland has. We worship that man.
It's so great. Yeah. That's a crazy story. That Ariel Castroneves, right? Who, he kept those girls in there for years. That's a wild one.
I know. I'm jealous of those girls, though.
Yeah?
They got McDonald's every day. He literally bought them weed. Not that bad of a deal.
Right. That's probably a better deal than some sugar daddy scenarios, right? At least he got fed and weed every day.
Yeah, he bought them Chipotle. If you're splurging for Chipotle, at that point, you're just a welcomed guest.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's some beatings till you have an abortion, but that's bound to happen in most... I feel like that's just Cleveland in general, right?
It's kind of like... you got to get rid of it some way.
That's right, yeah. You can't come to Texas and get rid of it, that's for sure.
They've got Ohio.
Yeah, go. Just go to Ohio. Find Ariel. So how long have you been in... Well, no, you know what? We're not going to move to Texas yet. I want to talk about growing up in Cleveland. How long were you moved... when did you move out of there? You spent most of your life in Cleveland?
Until I was 26.
Okay. So, yeah, that's like the pretty much all the years, you know. And you didn't like it. Never liked it?
I mean, I don't mind it. I think there's just more opportunities other places. You know, ever since the steel jobs left, there's really just not much in Cleveland. Like, I used to date this guy, and I was considered to be a gold digger.
Yeah.
Because he got $300 cash in hand from disability every month.
That's a good day. How much Chipotle did you get that day? You can get add the beans and rice on that day, right?
Oh yeah.
was that like the cream of the crop in Cleveland? I mean, you know, I had to imagine you can do better than that, right?
No, I mean, most people make like $8 an hour, $7 an hour in Cleveland.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, people don't really realize you go across this country and you start to find, you know, there's like, I mean, I grew up in South Central LA in the 80s, right? Like, it was poor, it was bad. But, you know, you start going across this country and you realize how much of that, especially that area, you know, like Detroit and Cleveland, like that middle America stuff where the industry's left and there's just nothing left in those places, you know.
Yeah, a lot of heroin.
Fentanyl, heroin, what do you...
That's why Cleveland has the best weed, because most of it's fentanyl.
Yeah, you got to test your weed to make sure I'm glad I got sober like 5 years ago, because I mean, I've certainly taken my risks in my life. You know, you get handed drugs in Mexico and you're like, yeah, sure, why not, you know? Who needs a condom? How often are you in the Dominican Republic, right? You know, you have make dicey choices. But nowadays with the fentanyl and stuff, it seems crazy.
What'd you get sober from, if you don't mind me asking?
You know, I just decided, so it kind of like the trajectory of comedy was going really well at the time, and I was traveling a lot and doing comedy full time, and like I got off the road after being gone for like literally more than a month, and it was just drinking and every night and shitty hotels, and you know, I was just exhausted, right? And then I had to go do this casino gig the next day closer to my house, like one nighter, and I came on the way back, I was just like, fuck, I think I need to take like a break. I was gonna take a break, right? And I called my buddy, another comedian, and I'm like, hey, we should, you know, I'm gonna quit drinking, and I'm gonna quit drinking for, you know, like a couple months and see how it goes. He goes, I'm gonna quit with you. And I go, okay, let's like enjoy part of summer and then we'll quit halfway through summer. And that weekend he checked himself into rehab. So I'm like, well, I guess I'll bump up my time frame. You know, we said we were gonna quit together. So I quit, you know, immediately. And then we both weren't drinking. He started drinking again. Then he killed himself. So then I just kept not drinking. And now at this point, I am like, it's just been so long that I'm like, I don't care anymore. It doesn't bother me. You know, I was like, I could drink, but also what do I need to, you know, I've been this long fine without it.
Yeah. I'm 6 years off crack, meth, and heroin.
Oh, wow.
So, I had a little more fun than alcohol because, alcohol, like, I feel like you make like bad sexual decisions and things
sure.
But you probably never had sex with demons.
I mean, have you? You might want to say you wouldn't. You might disagree after you meet my ex.
I hooked up with this guy, and I thought it was a four-way the entire time.
Jesus.
Turns out it was one person.
Yeah.
It was one person. I hallucinated the other three.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, so how do, yeah, that's, yeah, I mean, I've definitely enjoyed the harder drugs, but not to that extent where I was hallucinating threesomes, so.
Yeah, and the least attractive one was the real one, which was unfortunate.
Like, it was just like a coping mechanism. You're like, let's get better looking people in here. Who can I imagine?
I don't know. I like to imagine the guy, you know, I lost my virginity to, my uncle, but I think hard drugs, you know, I feel like alcohol, because alcohol, you can go a while and you don't know you have a problem, because drinking is kind of like societally acceptable.
Right, which is weird.
Yeah, but like heroin, you know, no one who is like hanging out with neo-Nazis and gang members, stealing car radios, you know, stealing vehicles to go buy crack and heroin, that there's you, it's hard to dilute yourself into thinking, oh yeah, this is normal, this is just how everyone lives, you know. Yeah. I just like to party on the weekends.
Yeah. I just dabble in crack and car theft on the weekends, you know, not during the week. I'm a responsible crackhead.
Yeah, basically. No, okay, so one time, this was the most responsible of a crackhead I ever was. So I was living in a Motel 6 at the time, and this drug dealer asked me to perform a fellatio.
Uh-huh.
And he was going to give me $40 of crack.
Okay, all right.
And when I went into rehab shortly after that, I got my phone back after I got out of the rehab, and I saw in there, I had said, I can't do 40. I have to be at work in 30 minutes. I'll blow you for 20.
Yeah, so you gave him a deal. He got the... You didn't even know. So you're looking back, you're like, God, I could have double the crack.
Yeah, basically, I was just like, I have to be at work. I have to be responsible. I don't want to drive with crack on me. So I'll blow you for $20
yeah,
instead of 40.
Let's make this cheaper and faster. So, wow. Yeah, that is that's definitely, you know, at least you stopped though, right? Well, what made you decide to stop and get sober?
Oh yeah. So after a long night of hooking, just kidding. No, so I was dating a meth dealer at the time, and we had gotten into a physical altercation.
Who was winning?
Choke slammed me through a table.
Okay, he was winning. Got it, yeah.
Yeah, I wish JR and King were there, you know. Oh my God, King, it's a slobber knocker. You know, but he, after he did that, he was like, you know, you're not the nice girl I thought you were. And I was like... One, I was shooting meth. I don't know why you thought I was nice.
Right, what if this...
You've sucked it, so why'd you assume I was a girl?
Yeah.
You know? And I went to rehab originally because I was like, you know what? I'm going to be the nice person he wants. And he eventually ghosted me because of fentanyl. And then I just stayed sober after that.
I like how you're like, I'm going to change for the person that chokeslammed me through a table. Like that was the thing. Like, I think this person really, you know, their love language is violence, but I think they're worth it.
Yeah, basically, I mean, that's why men are better women.
Right? Yeah. We just do everything better, I guess, you know, better at being men, better at being women.
Yep, pretty much, because I mean, women nowadays, you know, they are just out there, you know, being whores, destroying the American family, getting abortions and not caring about it. You know, they'll go vegan to save the animals, but they'll kill a baby.
Right. That's true. Yeah. I guess you're like you should be the conservative's dream because you'll never have an abortion.
Pretty much. Yeah, I actually am. It's weird because I think politics are like a U. You know, I follow the horseshoe theory.
Sure.
And I was such a feminist that I became Andrew Tate.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. It is like, it is a weird swing back and forth. But also I feel like, you know, things have flip-flopped. Like, we found, like, bizarro world where, you know, what the Democrats fight for was what the Republicans used to fight for, and the Republicans are the ones fighting for free speech. And, you know, it's like, it's weird. Like, wait, what? You know, you wake up and you're like, hold on, I thought I was liberal. And you're like, no, you're an alt-right Nazi. You're like, but I'm all for, you know, drugs and rights of everyone. I just want to own guns. I don't know the deal. You know, it's like, but yeah, you become the enemy.
Yeah, and it's like, I think both sides, like when you're on the extreme left or the extreme right, you arrive at the same position,
yeah,
just for different reasons. So like the feminism, you know, it's I don't agree with that. I think women are dumb for accepting that deal because misogyny still exists.
Sure.
So if you're female presenting, you're still expected to look young. You're still expected to stay in shape. You're still expected to dress nice, put on makeup, do your hair, all that stuff. But what do you get for it now? You still have to go to bed with a guy. You don't get a house. You don't get a family. You get pump and dumped, you know, and basically you get all the negative stuff that was happening to women, you know, but you don't get the benefits anymore.
Right.
So it's like, you just kind of played yourself.
Yeah. But you also have to work a full-time job now. Yeah. It's like, yeah. It is strange. Cause you know, I mean, somewhere we lost, like, I feel like feminism was about what made women unique and strong and able to do things and on their own, which, you know, is all very fair and true. But then also it became like what made us different. And then now it's about we're exactly the same. It's like, well, I don't know. Doesn't that kind of devalue women a little bit by, you know, their unique skills that I feel like they definitely have as opposed to men and certain things men have that are more in general or more unique than like women that nature gave us over hundreds of thousands of years of evolution and the need to develop a working society?
Yeah, it's men and women are biologically different. They're conditioned different.
Well, hate speech. Now that's hate speech.
Oh my God. Well, wait till you hear my opinion about trans people.
I can't. Well, it's here. Yeah, lay it on me.
I think it's a mental illness.
Okay. All right.
And that is coming from a trans person. I think it's a mental illness. And here's why. I hate when people get mad when you say it's a mental illness, because that's stigmatizing mental illness. There's nothing wrong with having something that you can't control about yourself.
Sure.
That is a defect by nature. But trans became this thing because the activists, where they're like, oh, you know, it's just a feeling, it's just a vibe. It's like they're treating trans like it's bangs. It's something you do when no one else wanted you. So you're just like, I need a personality trait. Let me become trans. And I just get annoyed that every other minority group is allowed to say, my culture is not your costume.
Yeah.
But when actual transsexuals say it to like the other people who, in my opinion, are just doing trans face.
Mm-hmm.
When we say, hey, this is not a costume, then suddenly we're bigots and we just need to shut our mouth.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you become the enemy now and you're part of that group. So that is interesting because, I mean, I've followed you online for a little while and like seen what you post and what you talk about. And I've always wondered how much of it was shtick and how much of it was reality. So I'm getting a dose of what is what now. And I'm glad about that, to know what is what. So you do think that there is a certain percentage of those people that are genuinely trans? Is that genuinely?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think that, and what do you think that number is percentage wise, if you had to guess?
Oh God, like, point like 0.01% of the population. It's like very small, that amount of people who are like, I feel like I was born in the wrong body.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I am going to literally unalive myself, depending where you're putting this. I just worded it that way. But, like, if I don't change something, you know, because it's very few people that look at the man in the mirror and ask him to change his ways.
Yeah.
Because they got to be starting something. Or they're going to have to beat it.
How?
Because it'll be a real thriller.
You couldn't help yourself. How early did you start your transition? How far have you taken that? I mean, you know,
Greg Abbott would be proud. I waited till I was 18.
Oh, good job. And I mean, so what all, if you're willing to share, what all have you done in your transition?
Not enough.
Not enough. Do you plan on doing more?
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. I want everything done.
Okay.
You know, I want to be at the point, where no one would ever be able to know. And then one day when I have that vagina, I'm going to let a man penetrate me down there, and I'm just going to look at him and I'm just going to say, well, you better get tested, big boy. And then I just want to be able to freak someone out that way. But no, I've only had my boobs done. Drug addiction was kind of a detour. I was starting to get myself back on my feet, but then the pandemic happened. And that kind of, the industry I was in at the time was one that did not come back easily from the pandemic because I was in trade show marketing. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people, you know, that's the thing I don't get about like the trans, like child debate and different things like that, because I think both sides kind of blow things out of proportion. Sure. Because transition is really expensive. So I don't know where these people are getting this idea that, oh, you know, you say you're trans and then you can get boobs or you can get your boobs lopped off right that second. Most states you have to pay everything out of pocket.
Either
you have rich parents or, you know, it's gonna be a while. So I don't know where they're getting this idea that people are able to just get things done like that. I mean, I wish I could get it done like that, but unfortunately most people can't.
Yeah, and I mean, so how do you feel about the age? Do you think it should be something that's you'd have to wait till 18 for?
100%. Yeah, kids shouldn't transition, you know, because it sterilizes you.
Yeah. There's really no coming back from it. It's funny. I was doing a joke for a while of like how if you are a boy that wants to transition and like get your get the invert and have a full bottom surgery, right? Get your penis lopped off. You can go ahead and do that. But then if you want to get your new pussy pierced, you have to let your mom has to sign off on that. You know, like if you want to get a piercing on it, all of a sudden it's you need parental approval.
Yeah. That is kind of a strange concept. I never really thought about it that way. Oh, God, that would be painful to get that pierced.
But because I mean, it seems, what do they say? I mean, you know, obviously, I agree with you 100%. I think that there is a certain percentage of people who are genuinely trans and feel that way and are that way and I'm full support of that. Do whatever you want to do. But it does seem like we've had we have had statistically an insane increase in transitioning and. It seems like, what do they say? They said that something like almost 80% of men who transition early end up regretting it and being like, I was just gay and I didn't know how it was presenting, you know? Mm-hmm. And they regret it. Now, and especially today when there's so much like societal cachet in being trans or having that, some sort of thing attached to your name like that, you know?
Yeah, and I think, I don't understand why there's such like an increase of it because gender is looked at so differently nowadays. Like back when I transitioned, yes, if you were a feminine homosexual who was never getting into the kingdom of heaven, it was easier if you transitioned. Yeah, like you would, if you were very feminine as a guy, you got less shit if you were a woman than if you were a feminine gay man. Nowadays, mama, you can be a sissy. You can be sissy and not walk down the street. No one's gonna say nothing to you. You can be a guy and wear a dress. You can be a guy and wear makeup. And no one's really gonna bother you. So I don't know why people are doing that. The problem was that they made trans an umbrella and it wasn't raining. We didn't need an umbrella. Yeah. So they lumped everything in with us. You know, so it's like the cross dressers who, in my opinion, are freaks. They're cross dressers are freaks. That should not be that's a sexual perversion. That's a fetish. Yeah. Like, why are you getting lumped in with identity? That's just what you want to do in the bedroom.
Right.
You know, people who like to get peed on don't ask to be included in the LGBT community.
Well, they might now. You know, it might be a golden umbrella that you have to hold for the goal. Yeah. So, yeah, that, yeah, it is interesting, too, because, yeah, I mean, it's these people just start getting, like you said, lumped into these different groups, and then there's no wiggle room, and everyone's just expected to fully embrace all those things. And again, you know, as someone who is genuine in this is, you know, live their life this way like you, to look around and then feel, I assume, some societal pressure to speak and act and support a certain way, given, you know, the climate of it today. I mean, how much blowback do you get about, because you're pretty open about how you feel about it, it seems, you're from what I've seen online. You do comedy for a living. I assume you talk about it on stage. Like, what, you know, how does that go, especially in a place like Austin that's, you know, the most, definitely the most liberal place in Texas?
I think I'm able to thread the needle really carefully, mm-hmm. because sometimes I think during, at least in my comedy act, it is hard to pin down what I actually believe.
Sure.
Because I'm so all over the place, and I do kind of use hyperbole a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
To kind of explain my views. But I haven't, honestly, I have not gotten that much blowback, but I've always lived in red states. I've never, like, done anything in California. Mm-hmm. Portland, I did a few shows there. They were kind of a little iffy about me. I had to clean up some of the jokes.
Yeah.
I was doing a little bit, just changed the language. But also, I do a lot of self-deprecating stuff. Like, I kind of have had a difficult life. So when I do jokes about that, I have to tone down the self-deprecating in bluer areas, because they don't, a lot of that audience, even though I'm okay with it now, don't like to laugh at bad things that happen to a minority person, which I think is dumb, because I find them hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. Well, especially living it and being able to make it into jokes. That's one of the things about comedy. Like, you know, I'm Mexican, and I talk a lot about being Latino and growing up in a Latino family on stage. And I actually had, like, this hippie white girl in Seattle after a show one time come up and yell at me and tell me that I can't talk about Mexicans that way. And I'm just like, what? Like, I'm Mexican. Like, my dad was born in Mexico. You know, like, he was illegal. Like, I don't know what you want me to, you know. How do you, this, like, girl who grew up in, you know, Olympia, Washington, who never saw anyone darker than Tom Petty until their whole life, like, the knowledge of being able to tell us what we should be able to talk about. And I've said this for a million years. I think the worst crowds in the world are liberals with money. Because they act like they care about social issues, and they get all precious and don't talk about this, can't talk about this. And then they drive their $100,000 BMW back to the hill in their gated community, and they lock all their doors, and they don't give a shit about what's happening. You know, there's a million poor people down the hill, but they, you know, they don't have to actually live in it, you know. So they have the luxury to be snobby about it and have this highfalutin take on it, you know.
Yeah, especially, you know, when it comes to, like, certain just demographic issues, like, you know, Cleveland, we had the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah.
And we had Chief Wahoo.
Yeah.
And then people got really upset, and then they changed the name to the Guardians.
Yeah.
Did Native America, is that helping Native American people? Like, right. If you feel so bad about the plight of Native American people, donate to their causes, donate money,
sure,
you know, help them, you know, with some of the issues that they have on the reservations, volunteer. You don't see those people doing that. They want to have a symbolic thing. And that's all this country has become. Let's do something symbolic for the minority group. Then we actually don't have to think about it, but we can give ourselves a pat on the back.
Yeah.
Half the times these liberal people are doing stuff for gay people or trans people, they're not doing it because they care about the homosexuals and the trans. They just want to feel, like, good about themselves, and it sucks that,
well,
they're like that.
Yeah, it's optics, right? It's, you know, we live in a world of optics and algorithms, so, like, it's all what the perceived, again, social cachet, because, like, you know, it's like Nike during the BLM riots, like, put a black square as their Instagram photo, right? But you're like, that, yeah, that's great, Nike, but your shoes are also made by literal slave labor. So how much do you actually care about social right, or, like, you know, the rights of people? Like, not to say that there aren't some problems with the way black people are treated in this country, but maybe, you know, 6-year-olds sewing shoes all day for a cup of rice in a foreign country is not something we should turn a blind eye to either, if you want to pretend like you give a shit.
Yeah, and all it just goes round and round, and then people argue about it, and then nothing actually gets done because the right just gets in an outrage about that.
Yeah.
And I mean, this country, like, I don't know what happened. I feel like everyone is a hypocrite now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think we'd all be better off if, like, we acknowledged it. Like, the trans groomer thing that the right tends to throw out.
Yeah.
I just find it funny that the same people who will call all trans people groomers and stuff like that are the same people that would laugh if a 40-year-old comic made a joke about checking out a 17-year-old.
Right, right, right. Or they probably all go to some Catholic church where the priest has molested a bunch of kids, and they're all aware of this, like, perpetual problem in the Catholic Church, but nobody does anything about it. You know, it's like, yeah, there's a million problems. Makes them hypocritical. They'll just, it's on the other side, turn a blind eye to whatever their sacred cow is, you know?
Yeah, and it's just, like, ridiculous. Like, I, like I said, I have, like, some weird opinions about sex and dating and relationships. But, like, you know, for instance, if you say something crazy, like, all men are rapists, right?
Right.
So men will, without fail, go, not all men. You can't overgeneralize about men. But then when it's like, can trans women go in the women's restroom? No, they can't. They're men. They're all rapists. It's, yeah, like,
yeah, which one is it? Yeah, it is. We really have lost nuance 100%, you know, and I like to think that somewhere in the middle is just a silent majority that just isn't really just living their lives, you know, whereas, like, the crazy people on the far left and the crazy people on the far right are just so vocal and out there that, and it's, you know, it's kind of like, oh, fuck, I can't even deal with you people anymore, you know, I can't even talk to you about stuff.
Yeah, and it's because of, like, big tech and everything like that, because that's what makes money nowadays.
Right.
Like, Eric Bischoff, who was, like, Monday Night Raw for a while, he has this TED Talk about controversy creates cash, you know, and that's all it's about. Like, if you say something really inflammatory, you know, you'll get tons of views, and then the algorithm will push it because, you know, people will argue in the comments. Yeah. Like, if I just went on YouTube and were like, I think abortion should be banned, and I think any woman that gets it is a whore and a degenerate, people would argue in the comments. Some, yep, people would agree with me. Some people wouldn't. The algorithm pushes that because it makes people outraged.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're just stuck in that. And, you know, people, it's the crazy thing to me too, is that so many people recognize that, or at least can, when you say it, they're like, yeah, yeah, that's what happens. But then they're still sucked into it so easily and take part in it instead of trying to, you know, do any better. You know what I mean? Like, I look at this, like the upcoming election, and I think both these presidential candidates are clowns, and I can't, you know, it's hard to believe that some people would support one or the other, and so vehemently, you know, and you know, no one's able to, like, concisely and eloquently articulate what they like about their candidate. All they can do is tell us why the other one's bad. And I'm like, you should be able to give some reason why you also want to vote for this person, you know, not just, I don't like them, so here we are.
Yeah, and especially, again, that they're both, like, hypocrites, because, like, Kamala Harris is like, we need to protect democracy. She's not democratically there.
Yeah.
She was installed.
Right.
Like, think what you want about her. Even if you're a Democrat, you have to admit they didn't have a primary.
Right.
So Joe Biden got pulled out at the last minute. Like, they didn't let any of the primary challengers even, like, go against him, because if they would have had a debate for a primary,
oh my God,
they would have realized he's out of it,
yeah,
way earlier, and then it would have actually been fair. But instead, it was so late in the game, they just installed her, which I think was the plan all along.
Well, and not only that, But they're actually now actively suing Chase Oliver, the Libertarian presidential candidate, and Jill Stein, the Green Party presidential candidate, in multiple states trying to keep them off the ballot in states where they think that they could lose votes to those two candidates and it might give Trump that state. So they're trying to keep, so they're actively trying to keep other people off the ballots in states so they can, you know, that's not democratic. You have to give people the ability to vote for whoever they want to, you know, not, hey, here's your two options, pick one or the other, you know? And these people who just get so dug in with, I'll only vote red or I'll only vote blue. It's like, man, you are so blinded even looking at what's actually happening. You know, you can't even stop and actually look at the big picture and you know, zoom out a little bit.
Yeah, like where I'm from in Ohio is like very much like that, because here's a hot take. I think Ohio is redder than Texas at the moment.
Really?
Yeah, because Ohio is like a Trump state, like Trump all the way. We were not regular Republicans, we're Trump Republicans there. So we tend to be like further on the outskirts of like, you know, our beliefs. Like we think there's space lasers that are controlling the weather and tunnels under everything. But it's just all so crazy because no one there is changing their mind about anything. Like Trump, like I personally like Trump, but I will admit the things he's accused of doing, he did.
Sure.
I just have the honesty, I think, to say I would rather deal with that than what Kamala's doing. At least I know what I'm getting with that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, some of the stuff they're talking about is with Kamala is pretty crazy, you know, like this, all of a sudden she wants to be really tough on the border, and which I guess fine. I'm not against that, but necessarily, but you know, it's like you've been the border czar for the last 3.5 years and done nothing. So where are we at on that? All of a sudden it's like, oh, it's voting time. How do we get these pander to these people to make them think we're going to do something?
Yeah, I had a plan for the border and I think it's foolproof. I'm going to download Tinder and all the dating apps, and I am going to go on dates with illegal immigrants and they're going to think they're getting nookie. And then I'm just going to be like, yeah, you know, my place is really far, but I'll pick you up. And then I'm just going to drive them to the border. And then I'm going to get them to the point where they're about to bust. And we're going to do it at the top of the wall. I'm going to be like, oh my God, this would be so sexy. And then right before they come, I'm just going to push them off.
Just push them back over. Yeah, that's a great plan. Let's see. Get all your friends. Let's get them together. You're the new border. You're the new ICE. I have this plan, and I don't know how to implement this, but I have several things I would like to implement that I think could fix our election, our presidential election. I'm going to lay them on you, tell you what you think. Number one, I think that, first of all, when you vote for someone, for your vote to count, A, you should have to do it in person, which I don't think is that crazy, but you go in person, and when you write someone's name down, you have to write 3 of their policies that you like, that you think that is why you're voting for them. So to at least say, I've done my due diligence, I know why I'm voting for that person, right? I think that's fair. You know, you're an educated voter. You have to, you know, instead of just checking a box because the whatever news channel you subscribe to told you to, right? So you've got to tell us 3 reasons why you're voting for that person. And the big thing I think could fix our election is we start treating our presidential elections like The Masked Singer, okay? Like, you dress them up as an avocado, you know, we get a voice modulator, they do the debates, it's just an avocado and a bumblebee standing up there, and all we do is ask them questions about policy. They can't tell us what race they are, what color, what sexuality, what their party is. All they do is to answer questions about policy, and we vote strictly on that. And to vote, you text Ryan Seacrest. Data rates may apply. And then that's how we get the president. And you're like, oh, shit, I didn't know I was voting for, you know, it turns out Tulsi Gabbard's my gal, you know. I think that's how we should do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would solve a lot of the problems that people have, because it's all about vibes now, though. That's all people care about. Like, most people I know who are voting for Trump can't name a single thing that they like policy-wise about him.
Sure.
They like the vibe, and they like that he says things that piss off the right people.
Right, yeah, yeah. Which is funny, because, like, I hate this, because every time I talk about one side, people assume I'm for the other. And I'm like, I have only voted libertarian for the last decade and a half. So, like, someone, I think the first time Trump was in the running, someone's like, I just like, you know, he talks shit and he this and that and blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, that's really great for, like, a, I don't know, high school wrestling coach. But, you know, we need a little more, like, nuance someone a little more presidential in the Oval Office. But I mean, God, it seems like anyone up there right now, even the other parties, are just a nightmare too. So.
Yeah. I mean, they're all kind of crazy. I mean, RFK, he's joined the Trump train.
Yeah.
But, like, he can't stop cutting the heads off animals.
Yeah, that's true. It's a problem. But, you know, I mean, you know, to be fair, the CIA killed his uncle, right? He gets to cut off a couple animal heads and they let him go.
Yeah, I don't understand why multiple, because that seems like, you know, a one-time thing. Like, you just, like, it's kind of like sex with a tranny, you know? You just want to try it out once to see if you like it. But you typically don't become a repeat offender, and you definitely don't tie it to the top of your car when you're driving with your family.
Yeah, I guess, you know. You don't find that there's repeat offenders? It's a one and done?
With me, but also I hate sex.
Oh, well, then that, yeah.
My heart's not in it.
No? I don't think you need your heart to be in it when you have sex, it turns out.
Nowadays, guys do. They expect you to, like, pretend to like it. And I'm just like, what? Like, that's crazy. You know, I have a headache and I'm on my period. Why would I like it?
Yeah.
But guys get mad if you don't, like, text them and they're, like, and, like, sound really into it. Because I'm a very straightforward person. You know, if someone is like, hey, would you like to engage in intercourse with me? I want to kaleidoscope my microphone into your USB port. And I'll just say, okay, sure. What day? What time? I'll see if I'm free. Yeah. And they're like, you don't seem that into it. And I'm just like,
That's the most into it. I just said, I just gave you the grand, you know, free reign.
Well, I act like you're scheduling a doctor's appointment.
Sure.
It's like, okay, what day, what time, awesome, see you then. Yep. Well, do you want a dirty talk and send me pictures to get me excited? No.
No. They should just take the in and walk away. Be like, I'll be there.
Pretty much. And it's crazy out here in these streets as far as dating goes.
I can imagine. So, with, you know, given your disposition and how you feel in your community, do you feel like you get people coming to you who feel that same way or want to, like, confide in you, feel like they can talk to you about it because it's, like, a safe space, whereas they can't, you know, they can't publicly give those opinions for fear of being ostracized?
Yeah, a few, you know, the trannies that I know, transsexuals that I know, you know, that we all feel the same way. A bunch of people are autogynephiles. They're fetishists. They are, you know, just living out some kink, and it's disgusting. A lot of trans people feel that way, but no one wants to be that party pooper that's like, hey, you know, I don't think you people are actually trans. I think A, you're doing it for attention. B, you're doing it for a fetish. Or C, you're doing it for album sales like Demi Lovato. You know?
Yeah.
And why can't teenagers, when they want attention, just cut themselves, not cut their dick off?
Yeah, you know, simpler back then. Yeah, you just cut yourself and wear JNCO jeans. Now you gotta... this whole thing. So I mean, do you see it as a fad that, like, will pass into something else, or
I think people are gonna become cats.
Just keep going. Keep getting, like, turn this pussy into a real pussy. I want to go full
Well, it is. And the men are degenerates, too, because I'm like the last year you can be a millennial before Gen Z starts.
Okay.
So, you know, I kind of have friends on both sides of the equation. And Gen Z, I don't even know what they are doing, because half of them want to be cats. Half of them want you to dress up like an anime cat girl.
Yeah.
And it's like, these people are not going outside touching grass. They just want to be anime characters.
Yeah.
Like, just say you want to be an anime character and don't make it a sexual orientation. Just make it your weird hobby that you cosplay.
Is that part of the problem that, like, kids, I feel, this is how I know I'm getting old and out of touch, but like, when you feel like kids are just so unsocialized now, whereas everyone has is neurodivergent, and everyone has some affliction and something, and it's like, because that's the trend. And then they, you know, well, I'm depressed and I have anxiety, so I just only communicate via the internet, and then they never actually go outside, they never know how to socialize, and they just, like, that becomes their identity, and it just extrapolates, you know? Does that make sense?
There's this, like, fetish for suffering. Like, everyone wants to, you know, be the most suffering person in the room. I have depression, I have anxiety, I have PTSD, I have autism, I have all this stuff. One, half of these people actually don't, and it's insulting to people that do.
Yeah. Yeah,
especially because I have my fair share of like mental things,
sure,
you know, going on, but I don't make it my entire personality. And the autism thing, every guy, and we both do comedy, so we see it all the time. Every guy, a skinny white guy that can't get laid, that looks like they're going to shoot up a school eventually, says they're like, oh, I'm autistic, trains.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you're not autistic. Like, let's go back to the days where you knew someone was autistic because they were never allowed outside of their house and they were smearing shit on their walls.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, yeah. It became like trendy, you know, it became like a thing you want to, it gave you an identity and a sense of purpose almost to oh, I have this thing. Now I feel like, and nobody developed a personality. They just developed personality flaws. And said, here, now love, you know, take me because of that. And it really is, it's just, it's just gotten crazy. I mean, I don't know. People just never, the numbers have jumped up so significantly over the years. It can't be genuine, you know?
Well, I think America is a sick society. It's American carnage. Because I think we need to go to the extreme right or the extreme left. And because everyone is like doing really bad right now, because American society is built on rugged individualism.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that rugged individualism, and for that to work, we need certain institutions. We need the nuclear family and we need the church, you know, and that stepped in because the government was not stepping in taking care of people.
Yeah.
Now we don't have the government stepping in, taking care of people, but we also don't have the family, the church, and all those institutions. So people just have nothing.
Yeah.
So we need to pick one, because right now we have the worst of both worlds. Everyone is overworked. No one has money. There's no hope. You know, people, you know, like my age by now, if it was the 1960s and I was actually a real woman, I would be married with kids right now. And I feel like that would be very fulfilling.
Yeah.
But instead, what are we doing here? No one wants long-term commitments anymore. The kids are dyeing their hair blue and being hippies or whatever, just about that part. But no, it's like every deaths of despair are going up because there's no hope. I saw it happen in Cleveland, and this ran on this topic about this. But so in Cleveland, when we lost our steel jobs, everyone got addicted to heroin and meth. That's when that all started, because no one had any hope of a better life or some stability. Now that everyone doesn't have that, you're seeing what happened in Ohio on a larger scale, where everyone's just kind of nihilistic and we're just trying to pass the time till we die.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I think that really nails it in a lot of ways. It's kind of like people just lost hope and a purpose. And it, so humans very much need a purpose and need something to drive towards and need something to do. Like, without purpose, it just becomes like the Ouroboros, you know, like the snake eating its own tail. You know, like I always say, astronauts are in space, they, you know, they start to like lose bone density and muscle density because there's no pressure in space. You know, and I feel like that's a good metaphor for life. When there's no pressure and, you know, everything's kind of climate controlled and, you know, cars drive themselves and et cetera, like we don't have, we have problems in this world, but I don't think we have the real problems that humans had, you know, 1,000 years ago. Like we were, you know, like we didn't have time. 80% of all these kids wouldn't have had time to be like, they would have been in a pack of other people in a bush trying to kill a woolly mammoth. And they didn't have time to think like, sometimes I feel like a girl, you know, like I got to kill this saber-toothed tiger or it's going to kill me.
Yeah, basically. And kids just have too much. It is too much time on your hand to think about all this stuff. Because I remember I worked in construction for a while and construction sales, and I eventually became the regional manager. And I was over like 5 states, Seattle, Portland, Phoenix, Denver. And then I ended up having a mental breakdown. And it was because I caught the car. And then I was like, well, I feel like I have nothing to like work toward. That's as far as I wanted to go in this industry.
Yeah.
And I just didn't feel like I had a purpose anymore. And I ended up getting put on like every type of like antidepressant for a while just because I felt like I didn't have a purpose. I was like, well, what am I working towards? I don't want to get any higher in this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's a lot to that, you know, and people just use the whatever their neurodivergence as an excuse to not move towards anything. And it's like, yeah, you're just going to kind of end up a little shell of a person that can't handle or do anything in life. You kind of have to fight through a little bit and be a little uncomfortable and get to that next plateau.
Yeah. Did you, I know it's an anonymous program, but did you get sober through the 12 steps?
I did not.
Okay. So the 12 steps, basically, it's the higher power or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
I'm familiar. Well, I went to a couple AA classes, but I didn't stick with it. So, but sorry, go ahead.
But the people who are not religious, a lot of times they'll tell them, okay, well, the higher power, use it as a higher purpose.
Right, right.
You know, you're meant to like help people, you know, and do things like that. And that gets people off of drugs because now they feel like they have a purpose. Their purpose is to help the other alcoholic or addict who's still suffering.
Yeah.
And that sense of purpose pulls them out of the addiction because the opposite of addiction is not sobriety. It's connection. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, people don't have connection anymore and they don't have purpose. And that's why we're seeing people pretending to be cats, people pretending to be women. You know, the young men are masturbating, playing Call of Duty all day. They're not getting jobs. The women are just putting out for everyone, having abortions, trying to be people. Just kidding. But no, that's why everyone feels so lost, because it's like, what are you doing? Again, everyone is just killing time till they die.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it's instead of finding a purpose and going out there and doing it, there's like, it's so separate and disconnected. And it's easy to be that way, I guess, you know, like we've never been able to be more connected and been so disconnected also. So
yeah, because everything's just, you know, fake for hits, you know, and we have a lot of like surface connection, I think, especially in like the online world. And we have a lot of parasocial relationships. Like a lot of people will watch like comedians, YouTubers, like, you know, there are so many young men that watch like Joe Rogan and stuff like that. And almost to like an unhealthy parasocial relationship where it's like, this is my connection. It's like, no, go out and meet real people, like listen to the podcast if you enjoy it.
Sure.
But like your only connection shouldn't be listening to people you don't even know in real life talk on podcasts.
Yeah. I mean, what do they say? Like something like 80% of boys over 16 now like aren't even interested in getting a driver's license, you know? And it's just like, that's how, I mean, I remember the day I could get my learner's permit, I was at the DMV, you know, and just like, this was a form of freedom, you know, that was going to allow me to get a job and was going to allow me to have some more freedom and, you know, financially. Whereas now, like you said, it's just, I'll just sit here and play Call of Duty and, you know, beat off to my avatar. And that's it.
Yeah, and I think it says a lot, like, Snapchat is, like, a lot of younger people's main form of communication. Snapchat.
Yeah.
And what do you do on Snapchat? You send pictures back and forth, and the messages delete. So that just shows people aren't having deep conversations anymore. It's just like, hey, what are you doing? Send a picture of my TV. Send a picture of my food. But, like, no one's actually having a deep conversation. Like, mama, let's talk about where we want to see ourselves in 5 years. Let's talk about, is God real? Let's talk about, you know, our opinions about things and have an honest discourse. And I think if more people did that, we wouldn't feel so pent up and frustrated where we are just all at each other's throats. But we're not having deep conversations. It's clicks, photos, and degeneracy.
Yeah. Did you always feel this way, or was this like a sobriety thing for you?
I think it happened actually during the pandemic. I had a great awakening. Just kidding. That's coded language. But no, so I became a slightly more conservative and more, I guess, free thinking, because I used to be like, you know, a blue haired, you know, trans, you know, just, I'm such a victim because I'm trans, the world doesn't accept me, blah, blah, blah. But during the pandemic, when I had lost my job, and that was the first time this job like meant a lot, it was like symbolic because it was my first job in sobriety. I had worked my way up. I had been promoted to a manager, and that gave me a sense of stability. Yeah. And then the pandemic happened, and that gets ripped out from under me. And this was also around the time my boyfriend died. So then I watched on TV, and I saw the BLM riots. Mm-hmm. And I just got so mad because I was like, wait, so now we're picking and choosing what's important, because suddenly the COVID restrictions didn't matter for those large gatherings.
Yeah.
But now I'm a minority also, and I had to go back to doing sex work for a little bit to support myself, not like prostitution or anything, like webcam modeling. Yeah. So, you know, not too much boohoo. It was not the worst gig, but you know, it kind of took away my sense of like, you know, this is me, this is real, this is exactly who I'm meant to be. Yeah. Which is from Camp Rock, a Disney classic. But it just took, and then I started looking into things, because I was like, okay, well, you know, if we're just picking and choosing about, you know, what we care about, let me do my own research. And then I started watching different news sources, you know, from the left and the right, a lot of more alternative media.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, you know, let me do some reading, because I'd always been interested in politics. Like, I originally studied international relations and Russian translation.
Oh, interesting.
So I'd always been like kind of a political junkie, but I just kind of broadened the sources I was going from. And then I kind of arrived at this position, and also dating after the pandemic got me to this position, just because I noticed there was like a distinct change in how people interacted. Before the pandemic, it was easy. People were like, let's go to Applebee's. Let's go play pool somewhere. Let's go to a hookah bar. You know, let's go to a park, smoke weed, do crack, kill people, drop out of school, get behind the wheel like it's still legal.
Yeah.
You know? You know, but like after the pandemic, people were like, want Netflix and chill? Want Netflix and chill? And I was like, okay, all you do is ask for pictures and you want to Netflix and chill. These are not deep things. We're not going out and doing things anymore. We're just sitting in our apartments, you know, trying to get instant gratification. And then it made me ask the question, okay, why is everyone so obsessed with instant gratification now? Why does it seem like no one actually cares about anything anymore? And why does it seem no one even thinks about where they want to be in 5 years anymore?
Yeah.
And I wanted to get to those answers. And then I started, and then I formed these opinions.
Interesting. Yeah, I love that. Because, I mean, really, it is so funny you say that, because, you know, we all just live in this world we live in now, and things, you know, I don't think people really ever stop and think about how fundamentally different life is on a day-to-day basis than it was pre-COVID. Like, I mean, yeah, like, we still live in America, we drive cars, we go back to our jobs or whatever the fuck you do, you know, you get to go to the grocery store now and whatever. But, like, the interactions, the way people communicate, it is different. And I think many people, like, just memory hold it. Like, just fucking, this has always been this way, it just is. Instead of really stopping to think about it like you did and being like, no, this is different and this is wrong. Like, why are we doing it this way now as opposed to the way we had before? And even with the way we interacted politically, and the way we interacted, like, you know, every way was just so, disagreements were, like, it wasn't so broken up and so divided on everything.
Yeah, like, I don't think family members ever stopped talking to each other because of Bush or Kerry.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. You know, no one was like, I can't talk to my uncle. My uncle is a horrible person. He is terrible. He wants to see everyone dead. He voted for Quayle.
Yeah.
But nowadays we're all like, you know, like, when I tell people, like, I like Trump, you know, their first thought is, well, you know, he wants to put you in a concentration camp. And I'm like, whoa, like, how did we get from point A to point B? And then whenever I say, you know, I'm kind of right-leaning, they're like, oh, well, the conservatives, you know, hate trans people or things like that. And it's like, actually, if you want to be technical and you want to sum people up to their beliefs, you know who kills the most trans people?
Who's that?
Black people. Minorities. Mm, yeah. So if you want to, if I'm not saying we need to, like, just sum people up to their identities or things like that, but it's like, if you want to do that, then they'll make up excuses for that and say, oh, well, you know, they want to structurally take away your rights, though. And I was like, okay, now we're moving the goalpost. Why don't we just judge people as individuals and not go down this rabbit hole where we're just trying to see, well, this group does this, this group does that. And it's like, no, everyone's kind of an individual. And unfortunately, now we just all do groupthink.
Right.
And it's dumb. And quite frankly, the people that say they are the least racist are the ones who group minorities in with each other and all have the same experience. You know, if you're trans, you have to think this. If you're black, you have to think this. Right. You know, I'm Puerto Rican, and, you know, people tell me, oh, you know, why do you like Trump? You know, he doesn't like Latinos. And I was like, first of all, God bless Puerto Ricans with citizenship. So he likes that. He doesn't like the rest of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is. It's like that identity. They just have to claim a side, and then you have to subscribe to everything that side subscribes to, or then you're just, like, wished out in the cornfield. You're not one of us anymore, you know? And it's like I said, at the beginning of the pandemic, I considered myself a pretty liberal person. Like, I always describe myself as socially, I was very liberal. Fiscally, I was a more conservative, right? Like, I think for smaller government, I think we could do a lot less spending. Things like that. But, like, socially, I'm like, do whatever you want. Like, I could care. It's not for me to tell you how to live your life. You know, as long as it doesn't infringe on my rights, like, go nuts, you know? But now that's not good enough. You know, now that's, you have to be this and you have to be this. And, like, not only that, a lot of those groups, like LGBTQ groups, have driven a lot of, I think, allies away and vilified a lot of allies and people that were in their corner, and really made it very tough to stand at their side sometimes, you know? Just because, like, oh, you know, I'm all for everything except like, man, maybe I'm going to draw the line at like letting a 12-year-old start transitioning. Like, oh, you are hateful. And I'm like, what about the rest of the stuff I'm on board for? You know, like, so that one thing is takes away everything else.
Yeah, I think it's because of, you know, the media ecosystem we have now, even with new media and social media, because I'm sure, I think everyone has had Facebook fights where it's like you're disagreeing about one thing and then the person tries to do a gotcha. They're like, oh, well, if you believe this, you must also believe X, Y, and Z. And I was like, people are not that consistent.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, there are some people who are like, yeah, I'm fine with, you know, trans people. I don't want them in. I don't want kids transitioning. You know, no one is actually consistent in their beliefs. Typically, it's very rare that you find someone who is. You know, for instance, I'm like, I have the opposite beliefs you have. You know, I'm socially right, economically left.
Oh, interesting. Okay,
and that's not a view that is popular or that a lot of people tend to have, you know. So people will be like, oh, well, if you believe this, you know, you must hate unions. And I was like, no, I'm socially conservative. I think we need to bolster the family.
Yeah,
you know, everything like that. I'm pro-life, but I know to be able to have those things, you need a robust welfare state.
Yeah interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of it's really there's, I think it just comes down to, again, no nuance and no willingness to have a discussion. But also part of it, we're having discussions online in abbreviated snippets, you know. Like, you know, I've always said, if you got a lot of these people in the same room and had a discussion, I think you would find that most people have more in common than they have not in common. And they wouldn't talk to each other the way they do online, you know. Like, it was early in the pandemic and with some of the riots and some of the stuff going on, and I kind of had a unique view of things because I lived in LA during the LA riots, you know. I've been on the losing end of police brutality multiple times in my life, you know, unjustly, and sometimes probably a little justly, to be fair. But like, you know, so I had a unique perspective, I think, or at least take on it. So I was having this conversation with this guy, and it was getting heated on Facebook. And I'm like, I got out of the comments. I just DM'd him. I'm like, hey, man, I go, this is getting a little out of hand. I go, and he lived near me. I'm like, how about this? I go, let's meet up and just have a conversation, you know? And he's like, yeah, okay. And we met up and we ended up hanging out for like 3 hours and became friends. Cause like there was some stuff we disagreed on, but also like it was just getting crazy. Cause you feel like you need to, like, I gotta get you and he's gonna get me back and I gotta dunk on you. Instead of just like, no, sit down as humans face to face and understand that we both love our families. We have friends, we have you know, and like, and probably a lot we're going to agree on than disagree on.
Yeah, and people don't do that, especially online, because again, it's all fake, it's all performance.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Pierce Morgan gets people, you know, with opposing views to talk to each other, but it's, you just try to scream at each other and get a clip, because we live in a clip society now. Everyone just wants a clip. Like, you know, people do comedy now, and it's all about getting a good crowd work clip.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, with anything like podcasting, videos, or anything like that, you just want to have an inflammatory or just, you know, out there, you know, clip to put up, because people only have like a 30-second attention span nowadays.
Yeah.
So it's like you just say something outrageous for 30 seconds and you're like, oh my goodness, I have so many feelings about this. No one actually ever goes to watch the full video.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like, you know, it's headlines. It's you know, clickbait headlines are just that now, because I've clicked on some headlines that are like obviously clickbaity. And I'm like, I got to see how crazy this is, that they're like, this is obviously a clickbait headline. What is this saying? And then the article is just like word salad. It's nothing. It's just, it's half a paragraph and it doesn't even say anything really about what the headline was about. And you're like, oh, you just post a headline, whatever you want, and that's all people read. Like, you know, nobody's clicking on these headlines. And the people writing them have realized that, and they're like, we just have to get our narrative across in this headline, and we win. It doesn't matter what this article says. No one's coming to the article.
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, unless the article is Daryl Hannah fucks a dolphin with a strap on, then a lot of people are coming to that article.
I've come to that at least twice tonight.
But that's all Facebook is now. You just scroll through it, and it's like, I'm trying to remember who I thought died, but it was like the most clickbaity thing in the planet. I think it was, I forget what actor it was, turned out not even to be true. So a lot of these like headlines and stuff, yeah, they're not even true most of the time.
Yeah, it's a wild out there. Well, Alexa, but before we go, we've obviously mentioned it. You do comedy. Tell us where people can find you, how they can follow you, anything like that.
Yeah, so you can follow me at Alexa Irizarry Comedy on Instagram. And my last name is I-R-I, Z as in zebra, A-R-R-Y.
All right. And any shows or anything coming up where people can see you live?
Shakespeare's Pub pretty much every Tuesday in downtown Austin. Ladies' night.
Hey, all right. Cool. Well, I think we're going to get out of here for the day. But we should do this again. This was fun. I like talking to you. I think you have an interesting perspective that is unique and that is hard to find these days.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to get out of here for the week. So follow Alexa, check her out, find a show, and go see her, have some laughs. And again, as for me, go to deescomedy.com, check out all the live shows coming up, and check out the Kickstarter, inferno.earth on Instagram. You can get information there. And the website coming soon. Support the Kickstarter. It goes live on September 15th. All right, that's it, guys. Again, we're going to get out of here for the Social Hour. I am Deese, and for Alexa, thank you very much. And we will see you all next week.